Welcome, my name is Tania. Welcome to 12 Elements, Yoga and Wellbeing podcast, Mind the Gap. Bridging the gap between life and your mat.
Welcome, Juliet, to Mind the Gap, to 12 Elements Yoga and Wellbeing podcast. Thank you so much for riding your bike here today.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure to come.
Awesome. So how I know Juliet is basically I stalked her on LinkedIn, as I just told her before. I found it very intriguing, her history and what she does in yoga, because it's very different from what I have been doing in yoga in the corporate sense. So with all of my guests, Juliet, I like to start right from the beginning. Can you tell me where you were born and where did you grow up?
Okay. Well, I was born in Belgium, in Brussels, and that's also where I grew up. I have lived my whole life in Belgium, only traveled for my studies from time to time, but beside that, that's where I come from.
And I know there's a bit of competition if you're on the Flemish side or if you're on the French side.
No, I'm from Brussels, and I'm a French speaker, but I don't know, I always have liked to try to speak Dutch. So, for example, I'm teaching in some companies where people are talking both languages, and I'm always trying to put some Flemish words, some Flemish sentences, so everyone feels included. I feel like it's a weird situation in Belgium, and I like to make it more inclusive.
Yes. It's very interesting, I find. Being Australian, I can only speak English. So I'm always envious when people grow up speaking two or three languages. So obviously you speak English, you speak French, you speak Flemish, Dutch.
That's all.
And that's all. That's a good start. So where you grew up in Brussels, did you grow up in a religious household or a spiritual household at all?
Not really practicing family, but I was raised in a Catholic family.
Okay.
I also have been to Catholic schools until I was 18. So I had religion classes my whole life. I went to catechism. Yeah, you say that?
I don't know. What's that in a translation would be?
So I did follow some Catholic classes outside of schools as well in order to get my confirmation and communion, stuff like that.
Okay.
So I was raised in this environment, but to be honest, I never really believed in God. Short story, my mom died when I was 5, and it completely made me not believe in God anymore. And so afterwards, I built my own spiritual life, I think. I always had some prayer corner in my room, and I developed it like that, but without like believing in one God, Catholic God. And yeah, my spiritual life has really evolved since I'm familiar with yoga, to be honest. Like now it makes, like, I'm way more spiritual now than before.
So following into that, I guess your spiritual connection coming into yoga would have been a natural evolution and I guess more of a deeper curiosity for you.
Yeah, I feel like as I've been raised already in a spiritual environment but linked to religion, it's more easy than to connect with spiritual life. But I feel like it's only evolving and evolving more and more. Now I've been meditating since 2 years really regularly, and this has also enhanced my my spiritual life.
Yeah, amazing. So how did you come across yoga? Do you remember where your first yoga class was?
Yes.
I have a feeling it's in DFAC.
Not even. That was like where I really started to be regular. But the first time I followed the yoga class was in Amsterdam.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I was doing 1 year of study over there, and it was really tiring and exhausting, and I had found this yoga class near my place, and I don't really know why I came there, I don't remember, but the yoga teacher was amazing, and I remember that it was the first time I was practicing some physical activity where I was actually feeling so well afterwards, and that I really wanted to come every week without being such an effort for me to come. So that was my first time yoga. And then, yeah, at Yoga Room, the facts, I started to go regularly when I came back to Brussels.
That's amazing. I guess you wouldn't remember the kind and the style of yoga that you did in Amsterdam?
Yeah, I think it was, Hatha Yoga.
Hatha Yoga, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a really good foundation to start with. Yeah, I had exactly the same feeling after my first class as well. I found it by accident in a gym.
Yes.
And that feeling that you said you just felt so good afterwards, I think that's kind of, it hits you in a way that no other sport can hit you in the body. And I think it's like not only physically do you feel freer and more mobile, but I think mentally as well, there's like a connection there that's deeper than the physicality.
Yeah, that was the main difference for me because my head was feeling so full all the time. I was really anxious and stressed, and all of a sudden after class, it was fading away, and that was really something new for me.
I guess that's why they call it a yoga high. And I guess in Amsterdam, that's kind of
that
funny.
That makes sense.
So you were studying in Amsterdam, and your profession, I believe, has been a lawyer.
Yes.
That's what you are still currently doing, or you studied law, or... So how did you get from law to, I think you moved into HR, and then kind of yoga flowed into it?
So approximately. So I was studying law, then I did my bar, which is 3 years working as a lawyer. And during that time, I was practicing yoga more and more. Then there was COVID. During COVID, I decided to do my traineeship, my 200 hours of traineeship to just deepen my practice, really.
A teacher training?
Yes.
In Belgium? Or?
No, it was in Italy.
Okay, fantastic. Whereabouts in Italy?
Near Milan.
Okay.
Near Milan. Wow. Yeah, so it was just between two lockdowns. And so I was lucky to go there, and it was just to deepen the practice, but then like most of the students, when you do 200 hours, then you want to become a teacher and you want to share.
Of course, you want to share what you've learned,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. And so when I came back, I started to teach slowly, but just like a few classes online, was still in the legal world. But so I was working in labor law and foreigners law. But I wanted to change, and really had no idea what to do. And my coach, she asked me, what do you like to do for the moment? And the thing I was taking more pleasure from was teaching yoga. So I don't know, it was just really easy, like easy thought. It became so evident. And that's how I started to switch completely from law to yoga. But of course, it was a bit scary because I was really in a stable position as a lawyer. I mean, financially, but also like regarding society,
I was just going to say to you, it was one of my questions, like, how did your family react? You saying, hey mom, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore, I want to teach yoga.
I was really surprised. I was a bit
what every parent
worried.
Wants to hear, not
no, but I was really worried about that because I know my dad especially was really proud of my career. But then when I told him, I remember he said, no, but I'm happy if you fly from your own wings.
Yes.
He said something really kind, actually. And he says, like, if you're happy, I'm happy and I trust you. And that was the best
answer. Wow, that's
answer.
Amazing. Yeah, that's
I was really,
really
lucky. And the thing is, I quickly found another stable job, but in the wellness field. It was a job of wellness officer, it's called. Okay. So I'm still doing it, but part-time.
And what does that entail? What does a wellness officer do? I've never heard that before.
No, so. It's on. I don't think it exists somewhere else. I mean, at least in that, like this kind of tasks.
It's so, in a corporate structure?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, so it's an event venue where we welcome companies for days of meetings, trainings, and so on. And during their days at Comet, that's the place where I work, they have the right, found them, don't have the right, that's a bit formal, but they can do 15 minutes of wellness session. So that's included in their package. Okay. So I come in the meeting room with one group and we practice some breathing exercise, some soft stretching on a chair. And we work on refocusing their attention. So that's just 15 minutes. And at first, I wasn't really convinced. But during the process of getting hired, I practiced it with some friends during their working days. We did one online session. And they all told me, like, after 15 minutes, they felt completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, the feeling we talked about after a yoga session. It was already there in 15 minutes. So I got really convinced. And so I decided, okay, if they let me the chance, of course, I'll go work there. And it happened. So I started to work there like full time. So that was a good basis. And also my manager was a yoga teacher for 15 years. So I was really lucky to have her as manager.
As a support.
Yes.
So do you see a future then in this wellness occupation job that you have also for other companies? And for it expanding and growing and for adding different modalities and...
Yeah, I see definitely a future. So that's why I went from full-time to part-time because I could see that like 100% of groups were happy with it and had many HR and people from companies who asked me, can you do that in our company, come at our places? And so I felt like there is really an opportunity there, like people want to have more balance in their life, in their daily life. And so I started to do that since November now. I go into companies and I offer some longer session, 45 minutes of yoga on chair. So people don't have to change and it's inclusive for everyone as well. It really works well. So I either do the 45 minutes or the 15 minutes again. In some companies, they feel like they are so tight with their schedule, they can't take more. But I feel like it's just the beginning. I put one foot in the door.
to gradually open.
Yeah,
and I guess a lot of people have never practice yoga before and probably felt maybe intimidated to go and take a yoga class because they feel like everyone looks a certain way and needs to be flexible. That's the first thing is, oh my God, I'm not flexible. And it's like, I'm not flexible either. That's why I practice yoga. Like it's you work at it, but it's not about the flexibility. But it's a nice that, you know, that you're able to go in there and introduce yourself, introduce a little bit of not only what yoga does, but then get that little taste, to get that little experience, whether it's 15 minutes, whether it's 45 minutes.
Yeah, like most of the people, they haven't done yoga ever. Yeah. I would say almost everyone. So for them, I think it's a good start. And some of them want to go deeper and then start practice yoga on the mat. But what I like indeed is that I can, at the same time, when I'm working as an independent, so not my my job at Comet, but my part-time that I'm organizing by myself, I at the same time offer the breathing exercise, the postures, so the physical side, but also introduce some spiritual knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I try to share as well, like the spiritual path behind yoga, and I go bit by bit. But it's nice to see that every time people are more open-minded, and as like when I know people more and more, I dare to speak more about stuff that might sound weird in the professional environment.
Yes.
So that's a thing that I really enjoy to do, is to share this spiritual bit with people.
I love that you do that, and I love that you are in their environment, mm-hmm. being able to share your passion and sharing your spiritual knowledge to them. And I guess everyone finds their own spiritual path, but it's nice that they're asking questions, and it's nice that they're slightly intrigued, mm-hmm. because, like, you know, even like 15 years ago, it would have been like all esoteric and all like fairy airy. But I think now people are, particularly since COVID, I think mm-hmm. people who are working in office-based places, like, they realize that life is not just like from 7 to 8 or 9 to 5, yeah. right? Uh-huh. There is more reason why you're on earth than just sit in an office working on a computer all day. So it's really great that you're able to mm-hmm. connect to them and inspire them and just open up little Pandora's yeah. box of knowledge, inspiration.
But I'm trying to use their vocabulary. That's what I'm focusing on, like not using some Sanskrit words, for example, too much when I'm talking about that. So I'm really conscious about that. And
that's a really good point, because mm-hmm. like when you do a yoga teacher training, when you've been teaching yoga, and for as long as I have, the best thing to do is to actually teach really simply. Mm-hmm. And it's not because you think or you want to perceive people as being silly or stupid or not able to take the information in. But when you practice yoga and you're moving your body, you really need that space mentally to be in the body physically. Mm-hmm. So it's really great that you recognize that mm-hmm. and that you're able to just like give them space mentally so that they can drop in mm-hmm. to the body physically. Mm-hmm, and then exactly. it's probably why they ask you questions after, because they're like, oh, what was I doing? What was that?
Yeah, yeah. No, and also you were saying like 50 years ago, people were not that open-minded about it. But maybe you're right, it's because of COVID. But also what I'm sharing and what I guess you're sharing as well in yoga class is really easy stuff, stuff that people, that everyone experienced. Like we all have some thoughts all the time. Mm-hmm. Some we are moody.
Yes.
Sometimes we experience some emotion we don't understand. And really, what I'm explaining is just that the goal of yoga is concentration. It's samadhi, as we say. So it's concentration. It's lowering these fluctuations of the mind, and that touches everyone because they all have that in their daily life. So that's why I think it's getting more and more easy for people to approach yoga, because we live in that society which mm-hmm. is a bit confronting.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I feel like later on you're going to do kind of corporate retreats. I can see that on the agenda.
That's a nice idea.
Can definitely see that working out. So how has your yoga practice changed over time then, from the first time you took your class in Amsterdam and having that sensation and feeling during the Hatha class? I'm sure you've jumped into an experience from Ashtanga to Ha to Yin to restorative. Where kind of have you landed, so to speak, today in your practice? Because it fluctuates all the time, and it does for myself as well.
I feel like I'm going slower and slower.
Yes. I think that's when you know you become an advanced yogi. Slow down.
Yeah.
It's like you have to do all the crazy stuff to understand.
So of course I enjoyed vinyasa a lot. Mm-hmm. Hot yoga as well. I still enjoy hot yoga.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, now when I'm practicing myself, I move slower. What I noticed is that I still enjoy going to classes of other teachers.
Yes, me too.
And
it's like a treat.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy. You don't have to think.
Yes.
But also I've noticed that my creativity has evolved a lot, like since the beginning. So I really enjoy now just moving and don't really... Mm-hmm. like when I'm at home, don't really think about this or that posture, but more experiencing movement.
Mm-hmm. And breath and the movement, and breath, I guess, exactly. And meditation coming into that.
And yeah, and I'm meditating more and more, so that's bringing slowness into my life as well.
Do you have a certain style or kind of meditation practice that you practice yourself? Is it different to what you teach in your wellness classes, or
it's slightly different? So the meditation I'm practicing is Vipassana. So I'm not an accredited teacher of Vipassana. So
have you been on their 10-day silent?
Yes,
that seems to be really big at the moment, going around. Like, I'm gonna be doing a podcast, as I said to you, next week, with a girl, and she did that like a couple of weeks ago. So
nice.
I think it's like it goes through phases in the world, but it's coming through to Belgium now. And how was your experience with that? Sidetracking into that.
So I've done it 2 times.
Okay.
2 times, 10 days. The first time was really tough physically, because it's 10 days silent and you meditate 10 hours a day. So you stay seated 10 hours a day with some breaks, of course, but physically it's really hard to handle.
Taxing on the body.
Yeah. But I experienced huge changes in my life, so that's why I decided to do a second time. And the second time was easy physically, but then it was way more difficult
mentally
regarding my thoughts. They were always present. It was really more difficult to focus, because when you suffer physically, at least you're focused on that. But when it gets easier on that part, then you're just with yourself. So that was more hard. And also, when you know what's happening, there is no discovery anymore. So it's tough about that. Like, I was... just before the retreat, I went to a festival, and I had, like, it was the beginning
of... Music festival.
Uh-huh. It was the beginning of the summer. I was really active, getting a lot of distractions, and all of a sudden, no distractions anymore. And that was...
heavy for the mind for a while.
Really tough. And you notice how distracted you are then. And, so I was really bored at first. Not really.
La, 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 la.
I was so bored. And
8 hours to go.
It was horrible. Then I went to talk to the teacher, and she, like, I was telling her,
I'm just bored.
Yeah, I'm so bored. I don't know why I'm here. And she told me, since the last time you did the retreat, did you experience any change in your life? And I said, yeah, massive. And she said, yeah, that's why you're here. And I was like, okay.
Good answer.
So, yeah, well, anyway, so I'm practicing that meditation, and I'm sharing, mostly this kind of meditation, where I invite people to observe their breath. Sometimes also there are physical sensations, but I feel like it's really difficult if you're not used to, yoga, at least. Like in the corporate environment, I feel like the easiest is to observe your breath.
It's tangible.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And also I do some exercise where they have to notice the sound, notice their perception of their senses, but that's not something I practice myself. Mm-hmm. So I always prefer to share something that I'm practicing. I find it easier.
That's perfect. I do that as well. I always say I teach what I practice.
Feel more legitimate.
Exactly. So do you practice, or do you incorporate any other modalities into your practice? And when I say this, people think of the gym and things like that, but I'm even going a little bit more esoteric. Like, I did Reiki a lot. I still sometimes do Reiki. Tapping, I really love. I think tapping's amazing with affirmations and words and things like that, because obviously words have energy. Is there anything else? I feel like that there's a lot more to you than just doing the wellness corporate. Yeah. I feel like there's other different modalities and things that you're open-minded. For a lawyer, you're very open-minded.
Yeah, that's why I felt so bad in that environment. Well, yes, of course. What's nice is that I'm really free in my job, and I feel free to do what I want, because if people don't like, they just don't practice with me. And in my job, at Comet, I feel really free as well. So I insert some tapping sometime. Mm-hmm. If I have a group that I already had another time, for example, I say, okay, we are a bit more comfortable. Let's do some tapping. I insert some shaking a lot of times. So shake your hands, uh-huh. Shake your shoulders.
Moving.
Yeah, moving.
There's a certain word for it, isn't there? There's a scientific word for what happens in the body when you do that. But I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. But dancers use that a lot, and if you look at like our classical, not so much Indian, but like in Africa and places like back in the day when they had their ceremonies, they do a lot of that kind of
you immediately feel that it releases stress.
Yeah.
So yeah, shaking, some sounds as well, because I have noticed that with I'm teaching prenatal yoga as well, and
amazing.
I offer some exercise where the women have to make sounds, because during giving birth they have to make sounds, so it's better that they get used to it. And I've noticed that it's nice to do that in the corporate environment as well, because they go outside of their comfort zone and
open up their throat chakra
as
well. They're probably like, you know, I remember I used to work in the corporate world. I remember you hold a lot in. There's things that you want to say that you can't. And I think releasing the throat chakra and making weird noises, I think I wish I had that back in the day. I wish I had someone like you doing wellness where I was in Melbourne, working in the CBD area. I think it's a beautiful way to bring expression also into the individual. So you're not just like a number you know, something on a chain of link in a corporate world, that you come back to your path, your individuality. Amazing.
Yeah, working with the voice is really interesting. I think I want to go more into
deeper into that. Can you sing? Are you?
No, but I'm taking some singing class for the moment.
Okay, fantastic.
Because I was told I'm singing bad for like my whole life, and I feel like it didn't help me to hear that.
To hear that, right? Sure. Okay, so maybe you're tone deaf. I know definitely I'm slightly tone deaf. I love singing, and I sing. Oh, I don't care, but I really, my singing's like, I think dogs are like yelping in the background with me, but I don't care, because I think it's a beautiful a way to release, and I feel it's so uplifting. Mm-hmm. And I think mantras are really good for that as well. So
exactly.
I think if you can't sing and you want to use expression of voice, because using your voice is very good therapy for the whole body, mental and physically, I think chanting mantras is a beautiful way.
Yeah, it can be really helpful in life to sing mantras. It calms down the mind as well. And I want to introduce more of that in my classes, so that's why I took this singing classes. But anyway, what I introduce else in my session is a bit of neurosciences.
Yes.
I'm also offering some workshop about how to channel your attention, how to deal with your stress, like meditation and its benefits. So for that, I talk about the nervous system. I talk about how the brain works, our system of attention. Talk about hormones as well. So I introduce bits of that in the session I'm giving in corporate, especially people enjoy that. So because they like to understand why they are doing something.
Yes, I think that's very important. I've had that conversation quite a lot with people, particularly in Belgium. I've noticed people want to know why they're doing things. Yes, very much so. Everyone is very intellectually. I feel like people take yoga first on an intellectual basis, and then they come into it on a physicality basis, but the intellect is always I've had the most questions asked about the most amazing things. And I'm like, wow, you guys are really listening, you're switched on. So it's really interesting to hear that. And you know, you mentioned stress, and we kind of, I didn't put that word in, but, you know, when you are working in a corporate company, stress, I would say, would be very high of what people are suffering day to day and mm-hmm. not able to express it or hanging on to it. And then obviously, you know, having stress from just living daily life and then coming into work and having that added stress on top. So I think those 15 minutes, 45 minutes, I'm sure a lot of people really look forward to seeing you.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed the relationship I have as well with the HR or with the office manager who's organizing that. In general, like, they are the most stressed person.
Really? Because I guess, like, they're dealing with everyone. HR, to me, would be a very stressful
job. Yeah, they have to deal with everyone's problem. Yeah. So everyone, like, when they ask for my service, is because everyone has told them they were stressed. So I think the HR is the person who's taking everything. I really enjoyed the relationship there because I feel like they really care about what they, like, the way they want to change the corporate vibe, mm-hmm. What they want to bring in their collaborators' life. It's not bullshit.
Yes.
And that feels great to work with them towards some goal, which is giving more balance in people's life and reducing bad stress.
Fantastic. So I guess the feedback is not only through HR, obviously feedback through word of mouth to yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it works. It is a success. So if people want to know where you are to bring you into their organization, or if they're interested in doing something, because you're kind of like, you know, the founder of this new movement of wellness in the workplace in this way, how can people find you? How can people connect to you? And
they can find me on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Yoju.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if they type Yoju on Google, I think they might find me. They can write to me by mail, or I can leave my details.
Yes, afterwards. I will definitely get your details and information, because I think it's really amazing what you're doing. I think it's pioneering into the future, and I definitely see, particularly even with people who are working from home, and I think the way that you've structured it up in the package that you're offering, you can do this at home maybe as well.
Yes, yes.
As you know, you can take it in, those people can take it into their home life without necessarily maybe starting off doing a whole yoga class, or at least you're giving them little bits of mm-hmm. Information of different modalities that, you know, they might go off on a completely different direction, but at least they are getting the information and the resources firsthand from someone. I think it's really good.
I think it's possible to do it online. Like yesterday, I taught one session online, and it was the first time, and it went
really well. Okay,
so
great.
I was happy about that. And
there was a group of people, like in an office, and you just set it up and you did it.
Exactly.
Okay, that's really cool.
And it, like, I did it two times this week with that group. Once yoga on chair, and once it was breathing exercise and meditation, uh-huh. and both went perfectly. So that was a good start. But yeah, I feel like, as you said, nowadays everyone wants to learn some new methods to enhance their daily life, and I feel like this can be the start for many people.
I think so as well. It's exciting.
Yeah.
What pearls of wisdom can you drop on us today?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say what has changed my life lately is to insert more bubble of time in my days. What I mean is that often I have really full days with many events, many sessions, many meetings, mm-hmm. and lately, since I've started to meditate more, I start to cancel things more often, and mm-hmm. Nothing is falling apart yet. So I would suggest for people to drop something, especially now that this new season is coming. I think it's a good moment to focus on what's essential and mm-hmm. what's structure your life for real. And sometimes we feel like, oh no, I can't cancel that, I can't not do this or see that person. But actually, it's okay.
Yep, so. If you can do 10 days.
Yeah, exactly. If you can stop 10 days, everything and...
The world didn't fall apart.
No, exactly. Everything is going on. You notice that you can stop sometime.
And you're giving the energy back to yourself, mm-hmm. which in the end makes you more productive, but I think in a more grounded and calm way.
Yeah, exactly. And with September now, I've noticed again... My agenda is so packed and I feel immediately that I lose my energy and then I'm less good at what I'm offering mm-hmm. and it's a vicious circle. Mm-hmm. So like what I decided recently is like when I feel like I don't have the time to meditate, and it's not my words of wisdom, it's from Buddha, but when I don't have the time, I should double the time of meditation.
Yes.
And I don't actually double it, but like sometimes I'm like, no, I don't have the 10 minutes. But then I think, what, 10 minutes, I can take it. It's nothing. Like it's the time I'm scrolling on my phone.
I have heard that advice. I don't know if it's from Teo or from other spiritual leaders, but mm-hmm. I've also heard that as well. Like if you don't have time, then take double time to meditate.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a beautiful, good little wisdom job. Thank you so much, Julia. Thank you for riding your bike here today. And thank you for not cancelling me.
No.
Thank you for doing this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was really nice.
Thank you so much.